Okay. So we were in Shin Chaf Aleph Siv Tes Zayin.
Shin Chaf Aleph Tes Zayin.
We're discussing the Malach of Lush. And we saw the Mechaber here in Siv Tes Zayin quoted two opinions about whether you can combine the two different materials, the liquid and the solid, that will form one substance, and you just can't mix them together to actually become the substance, or whether you can't even combine them. Look at the Ramah here. The Ramah writes, "V'imnosei na'ochel t'chila v'achakach achometz v'ayayin u'ma'arvo be'etzbo shari t'havi shinui." If you first put in the food and then you put in the vinegar and you mix it with your finger, then it's okay, because that's a shinui, that's a departure from the normal fashion in which this is done. So the Mishnah Brewery here in Sivkatan Samach Vav makes Seder for us. And Sivkatan Samach Ches. So what it boils down to is as follows. Here's what it boils down to. We already mentioned that we have to be mechalik between what's known as a belila ava and a belila raka. Right, who remembers what a belila ava is? Well, what's a belila? Belila is a mixture. Av is thick, right. A thick mixture versus rach, which is thin. A thin mixture. Okay, so a belila ava would be, for instance, a dough. Or anything which is a thick mixture, which we said, and for example, it doesn't pour, it's not thin. Okay, usually oatmeal will be a thick mixture. As opposed to a thin mixture like a batter, more of a batter than a dough. If it pours, that's a belila raka. So when it comes to a belila ava, that's when we have a big problem. Okay, and one should ideally not make a belila ava at all on Shabbos. There are those who suggest that maybe there might be certain ways where it could be okay, but in general, we want to avoid making a belila ava on Shabbos. A belila raka you can make, but that's where the Ramah imposes two shinuyim. It has to be done in a different way than normal, in two ways. Number one, it should be done differently in terms of the order in which you add the ingredients. If you normally put in the solid and then the liquid, so do the opposite. That's number one. Number two is in the manner in which you mix it. If you normally take a spoon and you go like this, what's that called? You know what I'm talking about?
Whisking.
I don't know, whisking, beating, whatever it is, like that, whisking? Okay, whatever. So you do it some other way. Okay, you can take it, you can close it on top and shake up the whole kli. Or you can do it, as Ramah says, with your finger as opposed to with a spoon. Or they write, if you have to do it with a kli, so instead of going like this, you can go like this in one direction and then take it out and go the other direction. Okay, so you change the order in which you add the ingredients and the manner in which you mix them. Yes?
But like Play-Doh or something like that, maybe considered like a thick mixture?
Yeah, Play-Doh. That's an issue. So let's say you wanted to go ahead and make Play-Doh on Shabbos, create the Play-Doh. That would certainly be a problem of Lush. Even if you already have the Play-Doh and now you want to play with the Play-Doh and make shapes out of it, that is also something that should be avoided on Shabbos. Mekatif. That's more like Sif Yud Zayin. Okay. Not Sif Yud Zayin. All right, we're not going to discuss that. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan here, it's in Sif Yud Zayin. The Aruch HaShulchan. So yeah, one should not play with the Play-Doh on Shabbos. Okay, so some practical applications. First of all, there's something which is even less than a Belila Raka, which is, it's a complete liquid. If it's a complete liquid, but you've dissolved solid into the liquid, but now it's dissolved. So that's not covered under the whole discussion of Lisha. The whole, the Malacha of Lush assumes that it's something beyond the liquid. Okay, you're going to go ahead and make coffee, let's say, or chocolate milk. That's not lisha. You're going to go ahead and make a bottle for a baby with formula. You add formula and water. So it's not really lisha. In Shemir Shabbos Kilchas, he still recommends doing the shinuyim. In other words, if you normally put in the formula and then you put in the water, so switch it and then shake up the bottle. But Mikra Adin, it's not really lush. Okay, lush is when you have some... It's not liquid anymore. The liquid and the solid combine to create something in between. That's where lush would really apply. But, for example, the example we gave was farina. So never mind the bishul issue involved, but just in terms of the lisha issue, so that would be a blila raka. One would be permitted to do so. One would need to keep the shinuyim, would do it with the shinuyim mentioned here in the Ramah. So, there are those who make tchina on Shabbos. It's a little less common than this used to be. In the olden days, they make it from like a powder and they combine it with water and they make it into like a tchina type substance. Okay, so this is where the malacha of lisha is going to apply for a belila ava. No, really, one should. But truth is that tchina would probably be already a. Look, it'll depend if it's a blue lava or a blue raka. Depends how thick you make it. Tchina is usually pretty rach.
Right, meaning,
it's usually liquidy.
No, meaning like in the process of making it, let's say you don't put in enough water.
In Ochanami,
can you add any more water? Or did you already violate the Isser when you first...
Okay. We'll have to do it in a way that you'd make sure that it would never be a blila ava. In Ochanami. In Orchid Shabbos, they recommend not doing this on Shabbos. For this reason. You could have of course blila avas like oatmeal. It's usually gonna be a blila ava. So that's gonna be problematic, yeah.
Drinks like a chocolate coffee, like do they fall
yeah.
under the same
That's thing? Liquid, it's not lush at all. It's not even anything, it's not even blila raka, it's just liquid.
It's not an issue at all.
It's not a problem.
Powders,
yeah, dissolving, things that actually just dissolve into the liquid, that's not a problem. Okay? Here's an interesting question. What about making tuna fish or egg salad on Shabbos? Oh boy. So you're taking the tuna or the egg and you're mixing it with mayonnaise and you're coming out with something like, you know, less solid than it used to be. But it seems like a blila ava. So we ought to be in trouble. For tuna fish and egg salad, how do we justify this? Yes.
I mean, you must use a lot of mayonnaise. It's changing form, but it's still like the same. It's still the same thing, really. You're not really changing it at all.
You're not changing it. Why not changing it?
Because it's not. It's not really a liquid. It's more like a. It's more a thicker substance. It's like it's not. You're not like the egg is still there. Like you can still pick out the egg. You can still pick out like the tuna. You can still pick it out, kind of.
You could still pick it out. Okay.
I guess I can't really describe it.
All right. Well. I'll tell you, this is a lot of poskim, it would seem like this should be a problem, but a lot of poskim defend making tuna and egg salad on Shabbos. Apparently, in many communities, this was like a minug, that at Shalashuddis, they would make egg salad.
That's probably what they do.
So they come out and they defend this practice based on a few different considerations. One of them, maybe this is what you're getting at, they claim that maybe this is totally different than... maybe this is totally different than, let's say, flour. That when it comes to flour, you have little tiny particles which all come together. And here, maybe it's not really like that. Maybe the pieces of egg are not considered to be separate entities in the same way that the pieces of flour and they come together. I don't know. I'm not sure if I find that so convincing, to be honest. But another point, if you look here in Sif Yudalid, okay, and this is probably a good heter. In Sif Yudalid, Ein Megablin Kemach Koli Harbei. You don't go ahead and knead a lot of kemach kalui, which means roasted kernels of grain, lest you end up coming to do lisha with unroasted kernels. That's a gzera shema. That means that inherently it's not really aser. It's just aser because you might do something worse. Why not? Why isn't it aser to go ahead and to knead the roasted kernels? So this is all discussion. If you look here in the Beir Halacha, there's a really long Beir Halacha, Shema Yavo. So right there in the middle, he suggests that once you toast it, So it's already edible. At that point, it's not really called a malacha anymore. It's just called making your, you know, changing your food a little bit. But the malacha, as we said in the past with other malachas, is part of the production stage. This is already more derech achila, because it's already edible. So according to this, there are poskim who claim that licha doesn't apply once the food has already been cooked. Same cane, egg salad, tuna fish, the food is cooked already. The fish, the egg is cooked, the mayonnaise is cooked, and you're just combining them together. Maybe licha doesn't even apply to begin with in those cases. La halacha, there's room to be mekel. It would be preferable to still use the shinuyim. So to not to go ahead and to do the normal mix, but to go across and take it out and go across. Okay, if you can make it before Shabbos and it'll be just as good, so then do that. Otherwise, you can rely on this, that you can rely on the heterim. As a chumra, it would be better to still use the shinuyim. Yeah.
Where does it also that you have to make it right before you eat it?
There are those who throw that in there. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchus also suggests that maybe there would be a sad to say that if you do it right before, like we saw by Boris, so maybe that works here also, maybe. So you combine a few of these things. If you're going to make it on Shabbos, so make it right before, and you know, use the shinuyim, and then you have a few things to come together to be mitzarif, and we'll assume that it's mutter. Yes.
What about making salad dressings or something like that?
Yeah, salad dressings. Again, it depends what you're doing. It might be an issue. Yeah. Usually, making salad dressing, at most, it's going to be a blila raka. You're not going to have a blila ava salad dressing. You're going to have either total liquid or you're going to have a blila raka of salad dressing. So, you put in the ingredients in the opposite order than usual, and you mix it in a different way than usual, and it's permitted. Okay? Good? Okay. One classic, real lisha issue would be making plaster on Shabbos. So, that would be used in construction, which anyway is a problem, or in making a cast. You're going to go ahead and make a cast on Shabbos. Now you're creating the plaster, so that's probably a real lisha problem. So a Jewish doctor would not want to do that on Shabbos, unless we're talking about pikuach nefesh, that you need the cast, but usually I don't think making cast is pikuach nefesh. So that'd be a problem. I don't think putting in a cast is pikuach nefesh. I have a hard time imagining that. What's that?
If it's like your femur, and you have to hold it, keep it.
Okay, if the only way to immobilize a person who desperately needs to be immobilized because of pikuach nefesh is by making a cast, then fine. I think usually they dafka use other ways of immobilizing, but
yeah.
Use braces or whatnot, but not cast, I don't think. But okay, whatever the case may be. Beseder, at this point in time, we're going to open up a new topic of discussion. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the next malach on our list is the malacha of Bishul. We're not going to do Bishul right now. We're going to wait till after Hanukkah. So in the meantime, we have other interesting topics to discuss. So the interesting topic we're going to start to discuss now is non-Jews doing malacha for Jews on Shabbos, including the issue of asking non-Jews to do malacha on Shabbos. Amira Lenochri. Because the Shabbos guy has been a part of Jewish communities for a long time, and it's not so poshut that you can just make indiscriminate use of a Shabbos guy. This is an area of halacha where people do not realize that there are isurim involved, and if you don't learn the halachas, you'll definitely violate isurim. On the other hand, if you do learn the halachas, you can usually get by without, doing what you need to do without violating any halachas. So this is an important area. Okay. There are two separate issues that need to be addressed when it comes to the concept of a Shabbos guy, of a guy doing malacha for Jews and Shabbos. Two separate issues. What's that?
Amira
Lenochri. Amira Lenochri. One is, are you allowed to say to a guy to do malacha? That's one issue.
Benefiting.
The answer is no. We'll get to that. And the other issue is, even if he does malacha for you without you asking him to, are you allowed to benefit from that? And the answer to that is also no. So that combination is a deadly combination. That would seem to just X out any possibility of Shabbos goy. But that's what we're here for, to learn the details of each one of these things. You have to address each one of these two problems. Okay? So let us just start by introducing the Isurim And then we're going to work through the details and we'll also come up with some heter. Okay? You ready for this? Okay. So let's start in Simon Shin Zayin, not too far away from where we are now. Simon Shin Zayin. Just to establish the actual Yisurim involved. Shin Zayin, Siv Beis. Okay, Shin Zayin, Siv Beis. Evan, would you read for us?
Yeah.
This whole siman is about things that you're not allowed to talk about on Shabbos. So we already mentioned there's a concept of, and remember the pasuk. There's a two-word phrase from a pasuk in Yeshaya. Vidaber davar. And the Gemara dashins shelo ye diburcha b'Shabbos ki diburcha b'chol. The manner of speech on Shabbos is not the same as your manner of speech during the week. So you're not allowed to talk about what you might do after Shabbos if it involves malacha and the like. So part of that iser is going to be sif beis, which Evan's going to read for us.
Asur l'shkor polim.
L'shkor. You're not allowed to hire workers.
L'shkor polim. Lo lomar le'ino yehudi. L'shkor lo polim v'shabbat.
Okay, and similarly, cannot have a non-Jew hire workers for you and do the hiring on Shabbos.
Afal pi she'ein ha'yisrael.
Even if you don't need the work to be done on Shabbos, you're going to have the work done after Shabbos, you cannot make the deal. You cannot come to the agreement to hire the worker on Shabbos. Continue on. Okay, so here's a key line in Shulchan Aruch. Shekol mashehu asur la'asos b'Shabbos, anything that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, also, lomar le'ino yehudi la'asos, so you also cannot tell a non-Jew to do it on Shabbos. Go ahead. Okay, and even to tell him before Shabbos, do it on Shabbos is aser. So I'm not even allowed to go to the guy on Friday and say, hey, listen, tomorrow it's going to be Shabbos, come and turn on the lights for me. That even that would be usher. Look in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tes. And you're also not allowed to say on Shabbos to the non-Jew to do something after Shabbos. So not only are you not allowed to tell a guy on Shabbos to do malacha for you on Shabbos, you cannot tell him on Shabbos to do malacha after Shabbos, and you cannot tell him on Friday to do malacha on Shabbos. Anything having to do with telling a guy to do malacha on Shabbos, whether the malacha is on Shabbos or the conversation is on Shabbos, it's aser. Okay, this would seem to be based on two separate factors that bring about Isser. Number one, Vidaber Dover, as we said before, that applies only on Shabbos. There's no Isser Vidaber Dover on Friday. But in addition to Vidaber Dover, which means you can't speak about Malacha-related activities on Shabbos, in addition to that, even if you speak about it on Friday and he's going to do it for you on Shabbos, we're concerned that if he's doing Malacha for you, you might come to do Malacha for yourself. You might come to say, no, not like that, like this. And you're going to do the malacha. So therefore, the whole thing is awesome. The whole thing. Well, everything okay?
Is there another
time you can acknowledge
John? Okay, so look at, yeah, right. Ask him to look on. You can share. Jonathan, share with Avi.
Okay, so this establishes the issue of Amira Linochri, speaking to a guy to tell him to do malacha. Yes.
Talking about malacha for him to do it after Shabbos, doesn't it also violate just talking about, isn't talking about malacha also?
This is the exact same issur.
So meaning
it's the exact same issur. Yeah.
Right, so meaning that is the issur. Why is it extending that? Oh, okay, now he's gonna
he's going to do it anyways if he's telling him or if he's just talking to himself. Why are we worried about it specifically?
You can't.
It's also in both ways. It's also, you're not allowed to talk about malacha on Shabbos.
Is it because you might need to do malacha?
That's only if the malacha is being done on Shabbos. You're not allowed to talk about malacha on Shabbos because that speech in and of itself is a violation of the sanctity of Shabbos.
So the reason that for after Shabbos to tell him it has nothing to do with you doing malacha?
Yes, it is only because of the forbidden speech issue, yes.
So you can't even learn about, can you teach or learn about malacha?
That's not a problem.
Like
to learn,
I can't turn on my light.
No. When we say talking about malacha, it means I'm planning to do X. Or would you please do X at a certain time? That's the yisur. Okay, learning about the concept of malacha, learning about reading. Can you read Chumash? In Chumash it says v'safta deganecha. You're gonna harvest your crops. No, learning Chumash. So no, of course that's okay. That's okay. We're only talking about referring to specific plans for action. Okay, now. We already start to see glimmers of heterim if you continue on in the Shulchan Aruch in this sif. So, David, continue on.
In Gimel?
We're in sif Beis. Aval mutar lo marlo.
Aval mutar lo marlo achar Shabbos lama lo asisa davar ploni b'Shabbos shavar alf al pi shemevi mitos tvarav shiritzono shi asanam Shabbos haba'af.
Okay. What you can do is, after Shabbos, you can say to him, how come you didn't do X, Y, or Z? You saw that we needed X, Y, or Z. How come you didn't do it? Even though the guy will realize, he'll figure out, that next Shabbos, you're going to want him to do X, Y, and Z. Now, you have to still be careful. You can't say to him, how come you didn't do X, Y, and Z? Next time, do X, Y, and Z. You cannot say that second half of that statement. Because then, you're asking him on whatever time, Sunday, to do malacha for you the following Shabbos, and that's aser. But if you can say to him, how come you didn't? And then he'll figure out on his own that you want him to do malacha. Yes.
Isn't part of the iser is getting benefit for certain? Like if the sole reason a goy is turning on a light is for your benefit, then it's not allowed, is it not?
Okay, so you're raising the second issue. Right now, I'm talking about the speech issue.
But he's saying, shouldn't he be like saying? He's saying, is he just trying to find a
okay,
just one spot? But even
each of these surim, each of these surim has details of when it does apply and when it does not apply. The issur of getting benefit from a malacha that a guy does for a Jew is not across the board. There is an iser. There is such an iser. We'll have to learn the details of it. He's assuming here that, of course, he's only referring to a case where it would be mutter mitzad getting malacha from a guy, getting hanah from a malacha's guy. Yeah.
Right. So that being said, meaning if it's okay to ask him after Shabbos why he didn't do X, Y, and Z, can I on Shabbos be like, why is it very dark in this room?
Okay. So we're talking now about hinting.
Well, this is like a hint.
This is, okay, what types of hints are permitted? What types of hints are not permitted? Fine. But in order to get into that conversation, we'll have to discuss that, because some types of hints are permitted and some are not permitted. Okay?
So this after Shabbos that we're allowed to ask him after Shabbos? Can this be said on Shabbos?
I won't get into it yet. Okay? I don't want to get into it yet. This is a topic where we have to sort of, in order to forestall people like Gabi from justifiably being frustrated with the conversation, we have to first discuss the parameters of when you can get hanah from the malach of a goy, even if you don't violate Amir al-Nachri. Okay, as we said, this is the main point I want to bang in again. There's two separate surim here. I'm even writing this on the board. So you're allowed to write it down. Amir al-Nachri, that's in terms of the speaking. And in addition, there's a separate issue of Hanah Mimeleches Goy. Getting benefit from Malacha performed by a Goy and Shabbos. So let's just get a little background on issue number two. And then we'll be able to loop back around and talk about loopholes in issue number one. Okay? We're all ready for this? Yup. Yeah? Here we go. So turn please to Simon Reishayin Vav. Sif Aleph. Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph.
Reish.
Reishayin Vav. So we're going to need to learn a few sifim here in Siman Reishayin Vav. We're starting from the beginning. Sif Aleph. Zach. Okay. So it says here that if a non-Jew turns on a light, he lights a candle, or in general turns on a light for a Jew on Shabbos, it is forbidden to get benefit from that light. This applies both to the specific Jew for whom he turned it on, and for all other Jews as well. It doesn't matter. Everyone is usher to get benefit from this melacha. Okay. The Rama adds, it doesn't matter if you're paying him or you're not paying him, it makes no difference. Continue on, please. Shulchan Aruch and Mechaber. Okay. The Seder. So if he lit it, and however, if he lit the candle for his own purposes, the Tzarko, he turned on the light because he needs light. Or even if he turned it on for a Jew, but the Jew is sick, he's a chole. Doesn't mean he's a chole who's a yesh bo sakana. Even if he's a chole she'en bo sakana, then it's permitted to get benefit. All Jews are permitted to get benefit from it.
So the first case is
he lit it for the Jew. He walks into your house, he sees that it's very dark, and you're trying to read. He turns on the light for you. Oh boy. Now you're not allowed to get hanoah from that light. On the other hand, if it's dark, and he's there, and he wants to read, so he turns on the light for himself to read. And then you walk into the room after that, so then you're also allowed to get benefit. Yeah?
What if you have like a small lamp, just enough that you can read? It's easy, okay. It's good to read, but by him turning on the lights, which is for you, it's just making it easier for you to read.
Right, okay, good.
You have to leave.
It's a good question. Do you have to leave the room? So look here in the Ramah, right, coming up, but it's not going to be a full answer to your question. But first look at the Ramah. Continue on, Zach. Okay, the real answer to your question is going to be in Sif Dalet, Davi. But for now, the Ramah says that let's say the non-Jew comes into your house and turns on the light, so he doesn't asr your house on you. There's a great trick. He could just kick you out of your house. All he has to do is go and turn on the light, and now you're chayav to leave. So no, it doesn't work that way. You don't have to leave, but you're not supposed to let him do it, and you're not allowed to do anything which you couldn't have done without that light. But let's read a few more sif. That's basically what you were trying to say. That's what we'll see in Sif Dalet. Okay, let's see a couple more sifim, and then... Alright, you know what? Since already Gabi asked about it. Look at Sif Dalet.
Oh,
it's okay, look at Sif Dalet. Go to Sif. Gabi, read for us Sif Dalet. We have to define what's the definition of benefit. Right? What's the definition of benefit?
Im yesh ner beveis Yisrael... Uva enu yudi vehidlik nerech acher mutar li shtamish odoro beod ner rishon tulik.
Okay, so let's say you had a light on, and then he turns on another light. So you can, he lights another candle. You can use the light in that room as long as the first candle is still lit, because that's not called benefit from his melacha. Now, it's true that there's more light now, and that's probably convenient, but it doesn't matter. Apparently, the definition is, I could have done whatever I'm doing now without his malacha, so I can still do it. Once the first candle goes out, the only reason there's any light here is because of his malacha. That's a problem.
You already started.
Continue on, doesn't matter, it's a problem. Okay, once the first candle goes out, and the second candle is the only one burning, now you cannot
do whatever it is that you're doing in that room which requires you to have light. V'chein.
V'chein imatan shemesh b'ner hadolik.
Shemen.
V'shemen b'ner hadolik. Mutar lishtamesh ad kidei sheyichle ha-shemen shehaya bo bevar v'achar kachosot.
Okay, so too, if he adds more oil to the candle that's already burning, you can continue using that candle for as long as it would have stayed burning without his adding extra oil. Okay, that's a little bit of a chiddush. I might have said, once he adds the oil, every second, there's some of the oil that's being burnt is his oil, some is my oil. Well, it doesn't matter. We say, Lemaisa, you're not getting benefit. You're not actually benefiting from the fact that he added oil until the candle would have gone out if it were not for his malacha. Now there is, we're going to flip around a little bit. We're going to go back and forth. So I'm sorry if that makes it confusing. But we have to discuss the following critical point based on what seems to be a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. So keep your finger on the place here and turn to Siman Shin Lamed Dalet. Shin Lamed Dalet Siv Chafei. Shin Lamed Dalet Siv Chafei. Okay, this is a critical point in understanding the Isser Hanah Mimeleches Goy B'Shabbos. Shin Lamed Dalet Siv Chafei Avi Rosen. This whole discussion here in Siman Shin Lamed Dalet is about what happens if there's a fire on Shabbos, Rahman Litzlan. What if there's a fire on Shabbos? So it says here as follows, that you're not allowed to put out fires on Shabbos. That's a malacha. That's one of the Lamentas malachas is mechabe. We'll have to discuss the parameters of it when we get to that malacha. Now it says here, let's say there's a fire in a person's house, Rahman al-Islam, and we're assuming that you're not allowed to put it out. Again, we'll discuss this when we get to the malach itself. So if a non-Jew comes on his own to put out the fire, you do not have to tell him, don't put out the fire. You could tell him nothing. You could just let him put out the fire for you.
What if he asks?
That's great.
Then he can't say anything.
You can, or we'll discuss what you're allowed to say. We're not up to that yet. We'll discuss what you're allowed to say. But let's just say you don't have to go ahead and dissuade him. On the other hand, if a Jewish katan comes to put out the fire, you're supposed to protest, you're supposed to say, do not put out this fire. Okay? You're responsible to make sure that a katan doesn't do malacha on your account. Now, what about the fact that if a guy puts out your fire for you, are you getting benefit from that?
Sure.
Yeah, but my house is not burned. That's good. That's beneficial for me. That's a nice benefit. So doesn't this contradict what we saw in Reish HaYivav? So the Mishnah Berurah addresses this question. Look here in the Mishnah Berurah. Seif katan samech aleph.
Is there a concept for sakanos mamonos?
No. The general rule in Hilchos Shabbos is you can do a malach on Shabbos to save a life, not to save property, as we discussed. Okay, yeah.
What if, God forbid, there's a fire in the shul, and you want to take the safe tours outside, but there's no air?
Okay, most of the time you'll be allowed to do it. In general, we're going to assume it's an Issur
D'Rabbanan. What about
Bizman Hazeh, most of the time, a serious fire is going to be Pikuach Nefesh, Bizman Hazeh. But we're not discussing it. I don't want to discuss it right now. Okay? But look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkon Samech Aleph. Jonathan, will you read for us the Mishnah Berurah? De'eno Yehudi.
De'eno Yehudi bechule. De'eno Yehudi adata dinafshe kave.
So he's doing it for his own purposes. You didn't tell him to do it. He's doing it on his own. Continue on.
De'afilu yodea shie noach lo l'Yisrael hu lehanas atzmo miskaven.
Even though he knows it's good for the Jew, it doesn't matter. He's doing it on his own, of his own free will. Maybe he thinks that it's going to be beneficial for him if he helps out. Whatever the case may be. Continue on.
the Siman Resh Ayin Vav, that's Sif Samat Aleph.
Sif Aleph, yeah.
Sif Aleph.
So says the Mishnah Berurah, what about Reish Ayin Vav, where he said that if he turns on, if he lights a candle for you, you can't get benefit from it. So he says that's where Guf HaYisrael Nehenda Mimenu. So there it's Aser. But here it's not a case of Guf Yisrael Nehenda Mimenu. How do we understand this distinction? So it goes like this, Rabbi Yisai. Listen to this important definition. Okay? The Iser of Hanah Mimeleches Goy B'Shabbos applies when the Melacha that the Goy does creates a tangible product from which you derive benefit. Okay, do you got that?
As opposed to
one second. So, for example, if he lights a candle for you, he creates a product, which is a flame. His malacha creates a product, which is a flame. I now benefit from the light or the warmth of that flame. I'm violating an issur of deriving benefit from the malacha of a guy. On the other hand, if he puts out a fire, he does not thereby create a product from which I derive benefit. It's true that it's good for me that the fire is not there because it was destroying my house. Or it's good for me that the fire is not there because I want it to be dark. But I'm not deriving benefit from the product of his malacha. Understand this? Right? If he turns off the light in my house, it might be that it's comfortable for me that it's dark because I want to go to sleep. But it can't be said that I'm benefiting from the product of his malacha. There is no product of the malacha. All he did was take away the light. That's not a product. Darkness is not a product of malacha, which is the absence of light. On the other hand, if he turns on the light, so he created, through his malacha, a product, which is light. For me to use that, that violates the prohibition of gaining benefit from the malacha of a non-Jew on Shabbos. Okay, so this is already a major, major distinction within these rules. For example, a guy turns on light for a Jew on Shabbos, that's a problem to get benefit from. He turns off a light, you can certainly enjoy the darkness. That would not be an iser of Anam Melech's Goy. So we've just, all we've done is started this topic, and Bezras Hashem tomorrow, we continue and we talk about further parameters of this discussion.